been through hell together. We spent 4 years. 4 years! Fighting that virus and then another four fighting each other. It was chaos. But you all know what we're up against.
I need to speak to Caesar!
And I want you to know, it's not just about power, it's about giving us the hope to rebuild and reclaim the world we lost.
Welcome to the Questoco.
All right, here we go. Let's see how this works.
Let's try one of these out.
I think this will be fun.
Doing a spoiler episode of...
That was my top up there. Yeah, yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
That phone call.
We don't need that anymore. No, that's something else. That's something to tell you there. Spoiler episode for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, right? Did I get that right?
Yes,
Dawn. I was having some trouble with that in episode 79. We did a spoiler-free review. Yeah, we didn't give away nothing, did we? Really?
Not really. You know, I mean...
You're just talking about in generalities. Yeah. That's how it, like, for new movies, that's how you got to do it, you know? Respect the people's right to see a movie without having everything spoiled for them. But this is a special spoiler episode. We're going to start doing these for some of the bigger movies, the more interesting movies, where we'll just sit down and talk, you know, for a little bit about the specifics of the film and why we liked it or didn't like it, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, I'm Christopher Cross, about the Shrewsbury Cogburn.
What's up?
Not too many people. You think people will download this first without downloading anything? That's always a possibility.
I don't know how people download this nonsense.
How did they even find us? I don't know. I have no idea how this is working. This whole...
I got nothing.
Internet thing is strange. What are you eating there? What's going on there, buddy?
Chocolate.
Wow, those are kind of flavor.
Pear with almond.
Pear with almond?
It's okay. Yeah. I've had better.
Have you?
Yeah.
What else? A Drew Cogburn review of chocolate. Anything to add on the chocolate? Chocolate experience? Pear?
No.
Pear and potatoes?
Nope. Pear and almond.
All right, here we go. We're going to talk about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Dawn Planet Apes.
Dawn Apes.
Dawn Planet Apes.
When they did Rise of the Planet of the Apes a couple years ago, the original title for it was something like Caesar Origins or something like that. Something really kind of a little cheesy. But different. It wasn't going to be called blah, 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 Planet of the Apes or anything.
Yeah.
They were going for more of a... I don't know what they were going for. I think it was smart that they stuck with the something-something Planet of the Apes.
Totally.
You know?
Agreed.
So, they start with the Rise.
And then there's a Dawn.
Then there's a Dawn. You know what I think? We were joking earlier. It's going to be mid-morning, the way they keep going.
Mm-hmm.
When the movie ended, like I know what the next one's going to be called.
Oh, really? What is it?
War of the Planet of the Apes.
Because
They kept talking about how war is here. You know, we can stop the war. And he's like, no, war is here.
Yeah, the war's coming. The people are coming.
The
military.
Underway. Yeah. All right, well, that's the end. Spoiler alert.
Well, it's in the movie.
So it's let's jump back to the beginning. So the movie starts out, you know, it's I love the opening credit sequence where it's pretty much recapping you on what happened in how the first movie ended.
And the repercussions of how the movie ended.
Chew that chocolate, get it, then you got a mouthful of right. This is a chocolate cast. We can combine the two. But it's cool. It starts with the globe. Like a rotating shot around the globe, and it's following the...
All the little dots of, you know, obviously, simian flu going from one spot, and then, you know, it's an airport hub. Crossing continents, and everybody getting infected, and
it's
lots of people dying.
It's a smart way to open it up with news footage and stuff, and the world, you can see the world falling apart in those years. I guess it's like 8 to 10 years or something between the events of the first movie and this movie. And it's smart because it definitely sets it up for people, if they haven't seen the first one, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, they could still just jump into this one and get right into it.
There's
there is obviously a lot of development of Caesar in the previous movie.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen the first one, you're going to be kind of freaked out by talking monkeys.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I liked how that was early on. Well, actually, when the movie started, it started with just the apes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hunting, like, gazelle.
Elk.
They're hunting elk. And it was, like, all... They were just grunting and doing
sign language.
They didn't talk for the longest time. It took them, like, 15 minutes to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed, like, each ape character or whatever, each one takes a while before they say their first word out loud.
Yeah.
Like, the big one, Maurice, like, when he told them to run.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty
He's
late.
Like, run, run.
Yeah, it was a run. The way he speaks, that was awesome. And Caesar's son, Blue Eyes, like he speaks towards the end. It takes him a while.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Like father or something? I don't remember.
I
read like an interview. It was an interview or a transcript. It was something where they were talking about Matt Reeves, director of Let Me In and Cloverfield. He came into the project kind of late. Like in pre-production,
yeah.
The first guy, Rupert Wyatt, I think, the guy who did the first movie, he like started working on it, and then he dropped out as a director, and they still were like working on a script before Matt Reeves came on, and then he got the story idea or the script or whatever, and he didn't like it because it started in a place where the apes and the humans were already like working together to rebuild.
Okay.
And the apes were talking, like they're fully talking, like Planet of the Apes talk, like the original one from the, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't like that. He liked the moment in the previous movie where it builds up to Caesar saying no.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, I want to keep exploring that and the evolution of the apes. So that's why this movie has the emphasis on the learning and the writing of the alphabet and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it was pretty. So he changed. He came in late and then changed the story. It's like, we're switching all of this up.
It's awesome.
And that was pretty smart, I
think. Yeah.
Because that's...
That works.
That was some interesting stuff. Yeah. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
I mean, the apes did end up getting automatic weapons, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Apes with guns on horseback.
Yes. That's
through
that's,
fire.
That's, yep.
That was an epic scene.
It was.
That was crazy. So it's smart how... It takes him forever to talk, and then when he does say something for the first time, if it is your first time seeing like either movie, it's like, holy shit, I thought they were just apes.
Yeah, nope.
You know,
because even in the beginning of the movie, they were just like, we heard them talk. And he was like, Oldman was like, excuse me?
Gary Oldman was good.
The Goldman.
But since when did he start playing like normal guys in movies?
I don't know.
He's been doing that for a while
now. I know, right?
He hasn't been like a crazy character.
He's good as the crazy guys.
He is good. I mean, he's good as like the sympathetic guys. And it is a sympathetic character.
Of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, I understood where he was coming from. Because he just wants to... He somehow found his way running a whole colony of people. I like how they set that up.
Yeah, there's it's the colony.
And it's the few that are immune to the flu. That's pretty cool. And he just wants to... Like, I just want to protect my people. You know, if that means that we gotta... go up into the hills and slaughter some apes so we can get to the dam.
So be it.
So be it. You
know, because they're trying to restore power.
They just want the power. That was kind of weird because they're like, we're already running things off generators. They don't have, I guess the generators still can't run everything.
We're running out of fuel for the generators.
Right.
That's what it is.
But they were still waiting for the hydro dam to be turned on so they can start trying to contact people. They couldn't be trying to contact people the whole time.
I guess not.
That's kind of one of those, like, you look back on it, but it doesn't matter. It's all about moving the story forward and suspense and shit. And then what's his name? Jason Clark, I think his name is. The guy who played the Malcolm,
mm-hmm.
the lead guy, the more sympathetic guy. Well, Gary Oldman's like the Malcolm X dude. Not without the anger issues, but he's like, you know, if we gotta take up arms, we will. Malcolm. Ironically, the other guy named Malcolm, he's more like, peace, man, we can live side by side with the apes. They do make a point of showing in several scenes how, because that's what the movie's about. It's about... A lot of it's about tribalism and how we're separate people, what we separate ourselves as people. When if we were working together, imagine all the shit that we could get done.
Yeah.
It'd be, you know, the things that we could accomplish as a species.
There's a lot of hate.
Too much hate, too much fear. It's like the fear of the other
type
of thing, you know. They're different from me in some way, so I just want to stick with my people. Fast and the Furious style, Caesar's all like family, you know, like we're apes are family. Yeah. And he kept saying in the beginning, like, apes are better than humans.
Yeah.
Man, that's some bigoted shit, Caesar. You know? Caesar had some shit to learn.
He did, and he learned.
That is funny.
He got betrayed by, what the hell was his name?
Koba. Man, the guys who, obviously Andy Serkis is Caesar, but the guy who did Koba, yeah. Well, those guys are, I mean, that's some serious good acting. Between
totally.
Having to be in those fucking suits and then still emote so much. That was a crazy, because that whole Koba Caesar thing, because they started out as like buddies. He's like his right hand. He's like the king's hand or whatever. What do they call it? The hand of the king.
Well, even
Koba's
so.
Koba's like the hand of the king, man.
If you remember from the first one, Koba was the one who ruled the roost when they were all together, you know, in the beginning. When they were all just apes. He was the alpha male.
Was he?
Yeah, and then Caesar beat him.
Caesar did some ass beating. Caesar will beat some ass, man.
He is an ass-whooping motherfucker.
He is. Caesar's a cool, he's a strong character. He's a character you can get behind because he's like noble. And he wants the best for everyone, even though, like we pointed out, he's bigoted against humans.
Yeah.
Even though he's the less bigoted of the some
of
other apes are way more bigoted.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, he's like even some of them said, you know, Caesar was one of the few that saw the good side of humans.
Yeah, because he got to hang out.
Because the rest
Franco's
of them,
house.
They were all just, you know,
they're lab animals.
Exactly.
Yeah. That hippy dippy bullshit. And it was funny where that one dude. They're sitting around like the fire or whatever, and he's like wanting to blame the apes for simian flu. And Carrie Russell, she points out,
yeah,
it's like, no, the humans invented that shit and injected it into apes. It wasn't, they had no say in the matter,
it wasn't the apes.
And then he was like, spare me that hippy dippy bullshit. I mean,
yep,
it's logic, dude. You know?
Yeah, but he doesn't want to use logic.
No, he doesn't.
He wants to get ripped out of a truck and beaten.
That was awesome. He deserved that.
Totally did.
Even if it was Koba, he deserved getting the shit beat out of him.
I mean, that one dude started the whole thing. He started the entire war shooting a monkey.
Well, no. Did he start or did Koba start it?
Well, I mean,
because
he started the events that led
to
Koba being able to.
To be able to sway some people. Like, hey, look, this one got shot, you know.
Seriously,
I the bed music. I only have a couple. We gotta do it, dude, because it sounds in here. Real quick. Planet of the Apes trivia, super quick. See, it's relevant. Don't worry about it. Super short too.
So stupid.
Number one, the first Planet of the Apes movie came out in what year?
1978.
Oh, 68. Number two. Can you name, well, let's see, just how many of the Planet of the Apes movies can you name?
Oh, God. I mean,
I'll tell you right now, there are 8 of them.
There's the Planet of the Apes. Okay. Isn't there like a Return to the Planet of the Apes?
Ooh, no, but we can get to that in a second.
There's Underneath the Planet of the Apes.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes. That's the second one, okay.
That's the weird one.
That's the one where Charlton Heston in the beginning goes missing, and at the end he pops up just to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what else is there? Like, is there a Rise? Was there a Rise?
That was the last one. I mean, I'm counting the one.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
All of them.
Rise, Dawn.
Yep, okay, there you go.
I mean, I think it was just Planet of the Apes. That counts as two, doesn't
it? Yeah, the 2001. Yeah, there you go.
The first one and the second one.
Uh-huh.
Underneath the Planet of the Apes.
Beneath the planet.
Beyond the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, close. No, but close. That'd be a good one.
Man, I can't name anymore.
Okay, the third one was Escape from the Planet of the Apes. The fourth one is...
Does it have Snake Plissken in it?
It should, right? Oh, man, don't tease me. The fourth one, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. And then the sixth one... Battle for the Planet of the Apes, which sounds a lot like war. You know, that's what I'm thinking. They're going to go with the war title. You know, awesome. All right, number three. There were two TV series. Can you name them?
No.
You did earlier. Actually, you can. Just give me guesses. Give me two guesses. First, you said one of them already. Before.
Just give me the answers. I'm sick of this.
Return to the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, okay.
It was actually an animated series from the 70s
really?
That lasted one season.
Weird.
And then they did a normal, like, live-action Planet of the Apes in the 70s, but that was a kid's show.
Sounds awful.
And then they canceled after one season. Not because it was awful. It probably was awful. But not for that reason. They canceled it because the show was a kid. It was aimed towards kids in the 70s. They didn't consider really marketing towards children.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't see that as because they have no money.
Yeah.
Not thinking that, hey, we can get the, you know. I mean,
the parents.
All right. Almost done. Number four. The original Planet of the Apes, 1968, was rated what?
PG.
G.
Really?
G.
Wow.
Yep. And number five.
All eight Planet of the Apes movies grossed how much in the U.S. box office? If you can give it to me within $15 million, I'll give it to you.
$729 million.
$511 million. Yeah. That's, got that out of the way. That's, that wasn't so bad, was it? Yes, it was
awful. So painful. It was awful.
That wasn't so terrible.
I hate you.
It wasn't so shitty.
Yes, it was.
All right, it was a little shitty.
It was all those things.
But it was in there. It had the bed music. Anyway, technicalities. Inside baseball. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Damn good. Yeah, Koba's. I think Koba's the one that's really responsible. I mean, the dude shot the guy. It's a mutual thing, though. It's mutually assured destruction because both sides are, like, bigoted towards the others. Even though there's good people, there's also bad people. But then are they bad? It's just what they've been taught. You know, they point out that Koba, yeah, he hates humans. But
yeah, that's all he knew.
That's all he knew. That's all they taught him. Yeah. So, of course, he's going to hate. So is it his fault that he's such a dick?
Kind of.
Not really.
I mean,
he could have overcome it, but
ape doesn't kill ape, and motherfucker shot Caesar.
Ape, not kill ape.
Tried to kill him. I mean, it was pretty much a military coup at the end.
Well, he
Koba took over.
Koba did a false flag operation. he pulled a JFK.
Yeah.
You know, he tried to assassinate Caesar and pin it on the humans, even burned the place down.
Yeah.
No, that's fucked up, man.
Yeah.
That shot when he was trying to like reassure Blue Eyes and the fire was in the background and then the camera was rotating around slowly and it was a long sustained shot.
It was fucking epic.
Yeah, it was epic. And then the pan back and then the music's going like, like a horror movie. That was a badass moment. Yeah. There are a lot of like little badass moments like that. Really awesome shots.
Yeah, with Koba on the back of the horse with the two automatic guns going through the fire with that evil look on his face.
Yeah, his face is crazy looking. And then, like, when he rolled by, like, there were all the other apes were, like, hiding off the side because they were being suppressed with the firepower. And they were looking at him like, holy shit, this guy is crazy, man. You know, he was winning over some apes there with that that warrior-like display. And then the tank rolls up and the apes go flying.
That's what happens when, tank shells hit apes.
And then that awesome shot where Koba turns around the horse. He goes, plays chicken with the tank.
He jumps on, rips the other guy out, and then the camera just kind of stays there in the corner and gets just like the side of his face as he starts using the minigun on top of it.
Yeah, and the turret on top is just stuck in 360.
Yeah.
Yeah, while you're going down, and you get this like epic look at this battle going on. Man.
It's pretty good.
That was a really good shot. That was some good stuff there. And then, you know, it's smartly done, too, because it's kind of complex emotionally because, you know, like I said, who do you root for? Do you root for the humans? Do you root for the apes, Caesar,
you
root for the good guys,
you root
right?
for the good guys in both camps.
You want the good guys
in both
sides.
You want Caesar and Malcolm as opposed to Old Man and Koba.
Yeah, yeah. You would like to see those guys win out. You would like to see the peace instead of the war, although the war is really cool looking. Although we haven't gotten to the war yet. War started.
War just began.
The war is just beginning. And then Caesar at the end, he's all the apes started.
Yeah.
Like it was a mistake, but we started. Humans ain't gonna forgive us.
Nope.
That's gonna be pretty messy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all know who wins in the end. It's called the Planet of the Apes for a reason.
True. It's not Rise of the Planet of the apes and humans.
Yeah, no.
Not Rise of the Cohabitation.
Nope.
Of the planet of multiple species.
No. Planet of the Apes. They win. Apes.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. Yeah. It's damn good.
See, I wonder how they're going to do this. Like, I wonder if they're going to branch off to see. Because, I mean, obviously, Planet of the Apes, I mean,
it's a planet of the apes.
Exactly. So I'm sure there just can't be, you know, Caesar's tribe of monkeys.
No, well, I mean, that's what they did with the other ones. The other ones did, for the most part, follow... I think that ape was called Caesar, and played by Roddy McDowall, because he was in the original five.
Yeah.
He played the same ape, I think, in all five of them. So they did find a way to connect them. But then they also all have crazy... Like, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, the second one, I think, ends with the planet exploding, or the third one. Either the second or third one ends with the planet exploding, and then they found a way to come up with a fourth one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, it's sci-fi. It's they can do whatever they want. But yeah, would they expand? I think they would stick with the whole Caesar thing and keep following him. So you got Andy Serkis there, why not? So you think Mr. Serkis should get, like, award like nomination consideration for that kind of stuff, for the motion capture type of thing that
I mean, I think I believe he deserves some recognition for what he's doing, because it's obviously it's groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But
even as an actor too, because like when you see Caesar emoting, see him angry or whatever, that is, you know, Andy Serkis under there. It's kind of like, if you can imagine it as Weta, they call it digital makeup. If you can imagine that, so you still would just be like, just because of the technical achievement, really, and not because of actual. I mean, he's acting like a monkey.
I mean, that talks. I get it.
That's kind of impressive.
I do. I get it.
You also play King Kong.
I know.
King Kong. That came out weird.
I get it.
But you're not that impressed.
But I mean,
it's no Daniel Day-Lewis in Lincoln for you, right?
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Lincoln put me to sleep. It's no Daniel Day-Lewis in Daryl B. Blood. Blood.
I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, I believe he should get some sort of award for what he's doing and some sort of recognition, definitely. But whether it's to the level of, you know,
Academy
considering
award.
Him, you know, a best actor nominee or even supporting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a little much for you.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
I think there should be something separate. And you call it just like the Andy Serkis Award for digital awesomeness.
For Andy Serkis. Yeah. I'd be, hey, you know what?
You know, something like that.
I'd be down with an Andy Serkis Award. Because I like the guy. I appreciate the fact that he's comfortable with being the type of actor that'll do stuff where you don't really see him.
Yeah.
It's a lot like this Doug Jones guy who does a lot of Del Toro stuff. Like in Pan's Labyrinth. He was the Fawn and the pale man with the eyeballs.
Yeah.
And then he did the motion capture work for the Silver Surfer in a Fantastic Four movie.
Nice.
He's done a lot of things like that. And Hellboy, he's Fish Guy.
Yeah.
Right? He's done all that stuff. And I think in maybe one of those movies, they actually used his real voice.
And his real face.
Yeah. Actually, you wouldn't even recognize him. He's a weird looking dude.
Kind of
John Watersy. Yeah. Kind of strange. Not too many people specialize in that realm. Digital captured acting.
I think that most actors have a fairly large ego, and I mean that's what drives them to do that sort of work to begin with,
and a desire to be loved.
And that type of work doesn't stroke the ego very well, because I mean, yeah, people know your name.
He's not recognized on the street like a Will Smith.
Exactly. People are going to be like, "Oh, you're Andy Serkis," because he played King Kong,
right?
And this guy and the other, and those things aren't walking down the street.
Yeah.
You know, he's not. Maybe if more people saw a picture of him in mocap suits,
yeah,
every time. But then again, they would just think every person in a mocap suit was Andy Serkis. Then
that's true. Like, hey, did you do all that? Did you do Beowulf? He's like, no,
exactly.
No, I didn't do Beowulf.
So. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't stroke the ego in the same way. That's probably why not a lot of people want to do it.
And that may be why he's kind of pushing more for recognition behind the scenes and in the press and stuff. Because he has been a little bit, you know, he's been more upfront about wanting to be recognized for the work that he does in conjunction with the digital artists and the way they have to translate their facial stuff and everything.
Yeah.
Again, I'm really interested in 2 or 3 years from now seeing how it looks. Because I'm like something like the opening shot and the closing shot. I like how it opens and closes with the same, the close up on Caesar's eyes, because he's the leader. He's a badass leader. Like those shots look amazing. The close ups, like a lot of the Koba close ups, like look incredible. But then the shots of them like swinging through trees, where they're moving a lot more, where they can't just copy a stunt double, they actually have to digitally create it from scratch.
Yeah,
that's in a few years. That's still gonna look kind of a little wonky-ish.
We'll see.
Yeah. But then again, you look at the original Planet of the Apes, just a bunch of dudes with masks.
Yeah.
Masks. Yeah, their mouths barely move. But at that time, though, people were like, whoa,
it looks like a monkey.
Look at this great makeup work. Just guys in masks, pretty much.
Yep.
If you look at it.
Rubber monkey masks.
I do also remember when Rise started coming out and they were going to do it all, they announced it was all digital. I was like, because even Tim Burton did it with people in suits.
Yeah.
And that looked awesome. That's probably the best part of Burton's movie.
Yeah.
The production design, Tim Roth as the main monkey dude.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. He totally dove into the role and everything. That's pretty much all that movie's worth. Everything else about that movie.
Garbage.
Oh my God. It's one of those movies where there was like a writer's strike impending. And Fox wanted to hurry up and push movies out there through the pipeline, so they always had product. So they had an unfinished script, and they're like, just make it. And
put in Marky Mark.
Yeah. Do we have Marky Mark? Is he available? Excellent. He's cheap. Throw him in there. And it'll actually, that's the highest grossing Planet of the Apes movie. It still grossed more than the last one because it made like $170 something million. So they did something right. Did something anyway. So yeah, I mean, it was cool. Awesome action. The ending is kind of a conflicted ending because the good guys really don't get what they want. It's sad.
The bad guys win.
The bad guys die as martyrs for their cause and they get what they want.
Yep.
They get the war. Well, Koba wanted war. He really wanted war. He wanted to enslave humans. Gary Oldman just wanted to get a goal in which he felt the apes were in his way.
Yep.
If they could have worked together, the humans could have given the apes, you know, stuff like medicine and advancements that, you know, technological stuff and help them learn. The apes could have lent their strength to the humans. They could have rebuilt the world so fast together.
Yep.
But instead they're fighting.
Exactly.
And now there's a war.
And then, you know, the apes got to build it all back themselves.
And that's the world we live in now.
So they can have electronic trees and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, and then you turn on the news and it's Israel and Hamas. They're going at it. You know, the whole Middle East is being burnt up. The Sunnis and Shiites are fighting each other. And that's just that. I mean, everywhere that shit's going down, you know. Here in America, we got guys that you stay on your side of the street, I stay on my side of the street. I'm going to wear red, you wear blue.
Yep.
If I catch you on my side of the street, I'm going to stick you. Right?
Correct.
It's fucked up. Perfect example right there. We all should be working together, but it's that Tower of Babel shit.
Fuck that.
We all got different languages.
Everybody fight together, we until we all just wipe ourselves off the earth.
We are. That's how it's going to go. That's the moral. That's the moral of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So there you go.
Sounds good.
So definitely a good movie. Check it out, people.
Fantastic.
If you did see it, let us know what you thought about it. Tweet us at Crespodiso. That would be a lot of fun. Or email us at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. We'll read some emails in the next episode if you want to tell us what you thought about it. Okay, you know, that worked out. I guess we'll some of the bigger movies that we see. Ones that have some stuff that we can actually talk about. We'll
okay.
Do these little
sounds things. Good.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, appreciate it, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you soon.